If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, the New Testament book there. We do have brand new pew Bibles. If you don't have your Bible, you can grab one in the pew in front of you, in the pew rack in front of you. Don't grab the person in the pew in front of you. That could be awkward, but in the pew rack in front of you. And it's New Christian Standard Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible, go ahead and take one for yourself. And keep that. Be glad to give you a copy. Colossians 1, and begin reading in verse 19. I'll read down through verse 23. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 19. Please stand with me in honor of God's word, and let's read these verses together. Verse 19, Colossians 1. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds, expressed in your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard, this gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it. Father, I pray that you would help us serve you and sit under the word, recognizing that you are above and we are subservient to you. And may we see that it's for our good and for our joy, and it's what brings you glory. So spiritually speaking, would you come and take these truths from the page of the scripture, from our heads, and move them to our hearts so that we are literally transformed by the beauty and glory of the gospel and by the power of your spirit. Please do it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Very, very unique, awkward, scary, weird thing happened to me this week. One of those things that I didn't see coming, just kind of happened out of nowhere. Didn't plan for it. It just happened. Many of you know that earlier this year, around September, my 2001 Honda Accord kicked the bucket. It died. The old green machine failed two emissions tests. Yes, I tried to pass it two times and found out that to have it fixed, to be able to pass, it would cost a lot more than what the car was worth. And so it was time to break down and get a new vehicle. And so around Labor Day weekend or so, my family and I, we were able to purchase, whatever you want to call, a 2015 Nissan Pathfinder. Yay! We love it. It's a great car, great vehicle, very happy with it. Love everything about it except the payments. It's a fantastic car, highly, it's a good car. Enjoy it much when I'm able to drive it. Had to take it this week to get a couple things done. Nothing serious, all is well. Had just under warranty, so I wanted to take it. And so they needed to stay at the shop, at the doctor for a couple days. And so they gave me a loaner. A 2018 Platinum Nissan Pathfinder. Luxury. Heated seats and heated steering wheel. I didn't know they did that. Heated steering wheel. I mean, I was driving it the first night. It was freezing. I'm like, oh my word, this is fantastic. My buns were warm and my hands were warm. And it was fascinating and so frightening all at the same time, because within a matter of minutes, I did not want the 2015 anymore. My life was not going to be complete until I had the 2018 Pathfinder Platinum with black leather seats and push button everything. I barely made a couple of payments on the 2015 Pathfinder, a car which I love, and within moments, I immediately thought, I am not complete until I have this bad boy. And it's scary, and I begin to think, and this, it would never work, but I begin to think, could I Could I make this happen? And so now the Pearsons have three. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. I exchanged it back yesterday. But it's scary how quickly I began to buy into their lie that Matt Pearson's life would be more whole if I just had this. Right? I don't think there's anything wrong with new things. I don't think there's wrong with getting new things, things like that. Christmas is coming. My office is right over there. Take everything you want to my office. Merry Christmas to you too. There's nothing wrong with that. But what happens is I begin to believe the lie that if I had X, my life would be complete. If this was a little different in my life would be whole. And it's what a marketer's responsibility, if you're in marketing, it's what your responsibility is, especially this time of year, especially in Williamson County. Because you turn on the TV and you're going to be told, you need this and life will be good. Right? You turn, open up your phone and you scroll and you, ooh, I didn't know they knew I wanted that. It's amazing. And you scroll a couple times and you think, if I don't have that, my life isn't going to be filled. Maybe it's just me, but it's happening everywhere I go. Open up the laptop, turn on the TV, look at my phone, open up the iPad, and before I know it, everything that I had is no longer worthy. To be whole, I need this. To be whole, I need to get that special someone this. To be whole, my relationships need to look like this, and then I'll be complete. It's funny. There was an article I read this week about the must-have toys for the past 20 years. Toys that people, parents, fought over on Black Friday. You know what the must-have toy was 20 years ago in 1998? Can you believe that was 20 years ago? 1998, the must-have toy, Furby. Help me, Jesus. 20 years ago, the must-have toy was Furby. 3 years after that, we have not improved. We've gone backwards. The must-have toy in 2001, Bratz. I mean, this was the must-have toy. They don't even know how to spell it. B-R-A-T-Z is how they spell it, Bratz. These mean girls. And then 7 years later, 2008, the must-have toy wasn't Elmo, it was Elmo Live. Remember Elmo Live? He actually did things and like talked and danced and stuff. That was the must-have toy. And just 2 years ago, 2016, the must-have toy, you ready for this? Hatchimals. We haven't improved much from Furby. And most of these things are sitting in a pile in somebody's Goodwill pile. You know how many storage units I passed on the way here? It's because we all have bought into the lie that if we have just a little bit more, or if things were just a little bit different, then we'd be content. And I think the Apostle Paul is trying to save us a trip to Goodwill next year. I love the book of Colossians for a number of reasons, but one of the biggies is Paul is inspired of the Spirit, and he's writing this letter to a group of Christians who weren't content with Jesus. A lot of ink has been spilled and written and used to try to figure out exactly what philosophy the Colossian believers were beginning to believe and buying into and being taught. I'll spare you all that simply to say at the end of the day, the Colossians were tempted to think that there are other things besides faith in Jesus that they needed to be whole. Other things besides the sufficiency of Jesus and who he is in order to be complete. And Paul's like, would you just stop and think about the fact that if your faith is in Jesus, you are a child of the King, you are royal, you have everything you need now, you have everything you'll need tomorrow, and you have everything you'll need forever. And Paul writes this letter just pleading with them, saying there's sufficiency in Jesus and who he is. I love that, especially these verses. And so my job has been, okay, what's going on in these verses that will help us understand about being discontent and about seizing true, genuine contentment? Because it's everywhere, right? It's everywhere this time of year. It's everywhere in our culture. It's everywhere in Williamson County because we've got the means to spend it. And so it's everywhere we go, we're bombarded. If you have this, it'll be a little bit better for you. And I believe Paul wants us to see that we have everything we need. And what I love and what I want us to hang our hat on for just a moment is that Paul is pleading with us, if you will, to understand that God is completely content with what he's done for you right now. Our contentment is grounded in God's contentment. Did you know God's not in heaven right now stressed out that you're going to not get that certain something on December 25th? God's not wringing his hands thinking, oh my goodness, if that doesn't get a little bit better for you, it's not going to be right. God's not worried. God's not sitting in heaven biting his fingernails saying, that better change for you or you're just not going to be complete, or you better get that thing or you're just not going to be complete. God is totally okay with the way things are right now. God is completely content. God is okay with what he's done for you. Let me put it that way. God is completely okay with what he's done for you. And when God's okay, we're okay. There's something about knowing that the one in control isn't stressed, but is completely okay. Look what he says. Look what Paul says in verse 19. I love this. For God was pleased. Other words, thrilled, giddy, happy, excited. God was totally good with what? Have his fullness put all of himself in Jesus. To have all his fullness dwell in Jesus. So God sent this man, human, to earth, and he put all of himself in this man. So Jesus was fully God, and Jesus was fully man, and that made God really happy. Whenever you read God was pleased, that means he was thrilled to do this. God wasn't like, well, let me see if this will work. God was like, yes, I'm happy that this is going on. Why? Let's keep reading. Verse 20. Through this God-man, through Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, he reconciled everything to himself. Reconcile. Bring together what was separate. Bring together what's apart. Restore what was lost. So God sent this God-man, Jesus, to earth to bring together what was lost. Where? Where? And whether things on earth, okay, that's here, or in heaven. And what did that do? Here it is. God was pleased to do this. Why? Because he knew when you see the ad on TV or on your phone or on your iPad or on the internet, or when you look and you're scrolling on social media and you're wondering why you don't have that, but somebody else has that, why you don't look this way, why you don't have that status, and if you have this, you have a little bit more status. He knows, because in your heart, you long for one thing, and that's to know that everything's going to be okay. And that God has got it. And he said, I send my son to bring us together and give you peace. You don't have to wonder if you're loved. You don't have to wonder if you're liked. You don't have to wonder if everything's taken care of. You don't have to wonder if God's going to provide for you. You don't have to wonder if God likes you or loves you or wants you in his life. We have everything we need for that right now. And God's okay with that. He says to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And he goes on. Look at verse 21. He says, once you're alienated and hostile in your minds expressed by your evil actions. In other words, God didn't wait until you got your life together. God didn't wait until you turned over a new leaf. God's not waiting until January the 10th to see if you can keep your New Year's resolutions long enough. He knew that you're alienated against him. You're hostile towards him. And he sent Jesus anyway to reconcile the two of you. He knew that you didn't have peace. He knew that you'd want something else. He knew that you longed for what only he could give you. And he did it even when you and I were hostile to him. But now, verse 22, he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. If you're in Christ, God sees you as faultless. Satan wants you to think that you blew it yesterday and therefore you better earn your way back pretty quick. Satan wants you to think that I just need a little bit of this and then I'll be whole. And if I'm reading the scriptures right, Paul's saying it's already been done for you and God's good with that. God's okay with that. There's a reason my kids don't like it when I'm stressed. My kids want to know that everything's okay by the guy in charge. There's a reason my kids don't like it when Katie and I argue once a year. Why don't they like it when their parents argue? Because they want the people in charge to be okay. There's a reason when I'm flying and there's severe turbulence in the air, I look at the face of the stewardess. Because if she's okay, I'm okay. I want to know that the one who's got it, the one who's in charge, is okay. Church, hear me. God is completely content with what he's done for you, what he's doing now, and what he's going to do for you. He's not stressed about whether or not he's got to do something else. He's done it. The question is, do you believe it? God has done it, and he's okay with it. If there was something else you needed for your life or your soul, he'd provide it because he is love. If he's going to give you his son, don't you think he's going to give you anything else you need for life and godliness? Maybe instead of looking for what others have or what we don't have, we stop and think, God, what have you done for me? And who am I in your eyes? You want to be content? There it is. Paul goes on to say in verse 23, he says something interesting because he knows how we work. It's almost like he's writing this in the year 2018, knowing what we're bombarded with the messages that we get. Verse 23, if indeed, he says, you'll be presented holy, faultless, and blameless in the time to come. We are that now, but we'll be presented that before God in the time to come. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard. That phrase shifted scares me to death because it happens when I sit down in a 2018 Nissan Pathfinder Platinum. There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong is I think that if I have it, I'll be a better man. And I begin to shift. And the word shift scares me because shifts you don't notice. Just a little bit. But over time, you end up away from where you were without even knowing it. And Paul says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay grounded. I want you to stay steadfast. And did you notice what he said? He didn't say, here's a checklist of all the things you need to do to stay grounded and steadfast. He says, in faith, believe what God has done for you, and you'll stay grounded and put your hope in that. Church, God is okay with what he's done, and he's not just giving you the bare minimum to get by. He's done everything necessary for you to have what your soul longs for. He's done it in Jesus. Now, my time is nearly up, but here's what I want to do for just a few moments. I want to give you three practical ways to fight against shifting away from being content and fighting discontentment. Okay, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to borrow some verses from 1 Timothy 6. There's just two books over to your right. If your Bible's open, if not, it's on the screen behind me. And I'm thinking, okay, how can we stay content, especially during this Christmas season and in our lives? What are some ways we can fight shifting away from this and staying sold and not drifting? There are three ways. And the reason I picked 1 Timothy 6 is because in 1 Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's an incredible verse. Love it. But he says, godliness with contentment and great gain. And then at the end of 1 Timothy 6, it's almost as if he's pastoring in Williamson County. There are a lot of wealthy people in the congregation that Timothy's pastoring. And he says, here's what I want to tell you to do to those who are wealthy in your congregation. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but Williamson County's got a little bit. And I think it would behoove us if we said, okay, this is what he told the wealthy in his congregation to do. How can we stay content. Three things very quickly. Number one, make God's contentment your contentment. Make God's contentment your contentment. Fight it. Believe it. Chew on it, meditate on it, wrestle with it, the reality that God is okay with what he's done for you, who he is now, what he's going to do for you. Where do I get that? 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Look what Paul told Timothy to tell those people in his congregation. He said, instruct those who are rich in the present age not to be arrogant or to set their hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but on God. Saying you want to make sure that you have a good 2019, don't hope in what you may get. Don't hope in the stock market. Don't hope in your financial portfolio. Hope in God. He says the wealthy, it's nothing wrong to being wealthy, but it's dangerous, and it's possible that we can arrogantly think that we have everything we need and that we can hope in what we have instead of who God is. And we all know that we are one bad decision from the government from being in turmoil financially. We all know that we're about a half a drop of serotonin away from going nuts. Y'all acting all holy. You know it's true. We are this close. And there is one thing that cannot ever fail, and that's God himself. And Paul says, you instruct those who are wealthy not to be arrogant. Put their hope in money here today and gone tomorrow. You tell them to put their hope in God. He will not fail. People around you will fail. Relationships will fail. God is okay with what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. Hope in that. Second, look up and around, not down and frown. That's my poetry for the week. Look up and around, not down and frown. Let me explain what I mean. At the end of verse 17, Paul says this to the wealthy believers in Ephesus. Put your hope in God, who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. I love that. It's not a sin to be wealthy. It is not a sin to be rich. It is not wrong to be a person of means. It is not wrong. Very dangerous, not wrong. And Paul says, let me help you fight discontentment. Enjoy what you have. Discontentment is always thinking, I gotta have something else to be whole. I've gotta get this next thing. If this were just a little bit better, I'd be better off. Paul says, would you just stop and would you enjoy what's right under your nose? And so that's why I say look up and around instead of down and frown, because here's what happens when we look down and frown. Oh my goodness, I need that. Oh my goodness, I need that. Oh my goodness, I wasn't invited to that party. Oh my goodness, my husband didn't do that for me. Oh my goodness, why couldn't I have that? Oh my, I need that decoration in my house. Woo, look at that 2018 Nissan Pathfinder Platinum. Oh my goodness. And you know what we're doing? There's things that God has given us that are right in front of our faces, many of them live human beings that are right there that have voices and have brain cells that function in a way that nobody else on the planet can. And we are going through here becoming more and more discontent when he is saying, I have given you this, enjoy it. And we wonder why we're discontent. Could we just for a moment, I know you can't do life without electronics. I get it. I love electronics. I love my phone, love my iPad, love the TV, love the internet. Big fan. Let me encourage you. Have a conversation with somebody that God has given you without a ding. Put the stuff up for a season, for an hour, for a half hour. I mean, I dare you to do this. Get notebook paper. Remember that? Write down everything God has given you. And make sure there's no dings going off while you do it. You want to fight discontentment? Enjoy what you have. It's unbelievable, the people, the things we do. when the people we share a bed with are sitting there talking to us and we're just scrolling because we got to see what somebody that we don't like did yesterday. That's going to bless us. And the person we know and love is just talking and we're whatever. No wonder. Look up and around, not down and frowning. Finally, this. You want to fight shifting? Fight being discontent. Know that life happens when you give to, not take from. Life happens when you give to, not take from. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'll be honest, that's a lot easier to say from a platform than it is to put in, to believe in your life. And I think verses 18 and 19 of 1 Timothy 6 are Paul's way of saying that in his own way. Paul was wordy. He had to say some extra things. But look what he says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 18. He says, instruct them. He's still talking about the rich in Timothy's congregation. Instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and willing to share, storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of what is truly life. I love that. I've read this throughout my life, and I don't know if I've ever noticed that last phrase before, because it says, so they can take hold of what is truly life. And I'm thinking, is he talking about those that the rich people bless, those that the rich people give their time to, give their money to, share with, and are generous towards? No, they may be blessed, yes, but Paul's not talking about that. Paul's saying is, you want the rich people to experience life? They get life when they give. They get life when they share their time. They get life when they're generous. They get life when they bless others with what they have. That's why God makes wealthy people wealthy, so that they can practice contentment by giving it away. Life happens when you give, not take. That's where life is. And you can check yourself on it. Go to your attic later. Go to the Goodwill pile in the garage. See if that thing brought you life that you had to have. It's true. It's true. We fight it. One of the things I've probably not done well as your pastor is just bombarding you with ways to give and serve. You're some of the most generous people I've ever seen. And maybe one way we need to even fight it harder is by me helping you see way after way after way after way you can serve and give of your time, of your resources, of your gifts and talents to fight discontentment. To fight. So those are just three ways using Colossians 1. And 1 Timothy 6. Let me close with this. One of my favorite parts of the Christmas story is the shepherds. Maybe it's because I grew up in North Alabama and it's close to Brewer, redneck. I love the story of the shepherds. And every year, it strikes me, the last phrase Luke gives them about them in Luke 2, after they saw the baby, the last phrase Luke says about the shepherds is that they returned rejoicing, praising, and glorifying God for what they had seen and heard. That's always struck. Because they came back and they still had the nasty job. Nobody wanted to be a shepherd. That was for lowlifes. They came back and nothing had changed about their marriages. Nothing had changed about their children. They didn't have a new staff. They were probably embarrassed by all the beer bottles they had thrown into the fire that night before they got the message from the angels. Probably still let a few cuss words slip. But they came back with the same circumstances, rejoicing. Nothing about their circumstances had changed, except they now knew that God loved them. and that God had said through that baby, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. God is okay with what he's done in Jesus. Are you? That's where contentment's found. I'm going to close with a season of prayer, and I just encourage you to kind of follow my lead. I just want to invite you now to just pray with me, and just follow how I lead us, and we'll be dismissed. Jesus, I confess to being the chief among those who are discontent so often. I think having another book to read will do it, or another gadget. Father, I know we're not going to get rid of all these messages and these desires. Some of them are good and true, but God, so many of them make us think. The evil one infiltrates and makes us think that if we have certain things, we'll finally be whole. And I pray against that. I pray against the hissing spirit of the serpent who takes good things twists them. Father, I believe you are completely content with what you've done for us, are doing for us, and what you will do for us. I don't believe you're in heaven with your hands tied behind your back and duct tape over your mouth and you can't work. I believe you are. I believe you've provided everything that we need for what our souls ultimately long for. And Father, I pray that your contentment would be ours. That we would literally wrestle that reality to the ground, that we've been reconciled by the God-man. And peace has been made because of what you sent Jesus to do on the cross. Father, I pray that we would recognize the devices in our lives and how they can be twisted to rob us of what's right under our noses. Father, give us discipline. Help us to follow you in those moments, not to make it a legalistic thing, but to make it a deeper relationship thing with you and others, recognizing that there are things you've given, people and things you've given us in our lives to enjoy. Father, I pray that we'd be people who give, to check our hearts, to keep ourselves from being discontent, from evaluating ourselves. Father, thank you for Jesus. And because of him, we can know that you're okay and everything's going to be okay. Now take these truths from the pages, from a screen, from our head, and move them to our hearts. Now, I want to ask you in the pew, if you pray for the person to your right and to your left, you may know them, you may not. God knows them. Would you pray that they would supernaturally believe, understand, and grab hold of the contentment of God? That God was pleased to do this in his son Jesus. Pray that God would help the person on your right and on your left to know that they are loved by God and are taken care of. Now, would you do it for the person behind you and in front of you? Again, you may know them, you may not. That's okay, God does. Just pray for those persons. To avoid the shift away from contentment, to believe and hope. Father, do this for our good and for your glory. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Have an incredible day. Thank you.